Get this on to.
It's Bill. He ain't got any of that damn money. Right. He ain't got no woman either.
Hello, hello. This is Chris 200. It's audio on demand. Hopefully we don't get that low roll road rumble this time. I've made some adjustments here and guess we'll have to see what happens. It's not as loud as I would like to have it. Let's see if I turn that up a little bit more. Maybe I won't get any clipping. Let's see. It's 12 degrees. It's about 4:50 on the 15th of February. Welcome to Audio On Demand. Like I said, this is Chris 200. Baked off some of my cinnamon rolls last night. Went to Qdoba. Not too pleased with that. Spent some time over at the in-laws. Other than that, that's about how my day went. Happened to my file that one day. I haven't been able to find it, so either the camera killed it. Try to use the camera to upload the files from the card, and that didn't work, so either that or I dropped it or something and the batteries came out as it was saving. I don't know. I can't find my remote for the car, for the garage. Must have whipped my bag in and knocked it off. My little county card came off in Nebraska. Just about all the license plates have a county designation, except for Lincoln and Omaha counties, Lancaster, Douglas, and Papillion, La Vista, Bellevue. Sarpy County does not have a county code on their plates, but everybody else does. It's actually pretty easy to find out where people are from if they're from outside of those three areas. Saw somebody from Auburn, which I didn't realize is a county seat in Nebraska. I didn't realize that. Let's see. Somebody stopped up here on the road. 44 is Nemaha, which is Auburn. So there you go, Auburn. Auburn has a county seat, in case anybody needs to know. Get my speed back up. Omaha, 34 miles. South Bend, 4 miles, which means I'm about 4 miles from the interstate. So I've got one exit there. That's the Greenwood exit. I'm not sure how far that is from Lincoln. Probably about 20 miles, I don't know, something like that. mile marker. What do I have to say today? Not really a whole lot. Pretty much said everything that could have said yesterday, or that I've already said, I guess. One of the things I did, like to clip in here. One of the things that I did, hello! There's a total clip there. One of the things I did yesterday, I haven't looked at for a while, and I found some interesting information. Around 2000, 2001, I did a lot of listening to shortwave radio, at least a little bit. There's basically two stations that I really kind of tuned into, listened to quite a bit. Not really a whole lot. I mean, I just kind of got lucky and stumbled across them. I don't know what the call signs are or what the frequency is anymore. But there's actually one out of Maine, Montpelier, Maine, or something like that. They have some pretty good programming on there. I remember one particular program. I think it was, maybe it was in the winters. It sounded like it was pre-recorded. This guy was basically sitting out on his porch. Maybe it was in the spring or fall, watching the ripples on the lake. Kind of interesting programming there. One of the other ones that I was listening to was a William Cooper. I don't know if any of you out there are familiar with William Cooper. He's kind of a radical. He passed away, and I'll get to that story a little bit later. He passed away. Like I said, he was kind of a radical. A lot of the shows that I listened to, if I remember right, he was talking about the government and how income tax was illegal, and I think he basically didn't pay any income tax. He'd had some problems with the law, trying to get him on tax evasion, and going back and listening to a show today, I got some more insight on what he's about and what was going on. And he was kind of the the shortwave Art Bell type of program, I guess. A little more radical, though, you know. I don't remember him talking about it, but he evidently was some sort of a skeptic or whatever about the UFOs and Groom Lake and all that fun stuff. He had spent some time in the military, I believe the Navy and the Air Force. He probably actually spent some time in my neck of the woods if he was with the Strategic Air Command. Omaha is the home of the Strategic, at the time I believe was home of the Strategic Air Command, or it was one of the bases involved in that program, whatever. Basically what that had to do with the SAC, Strategic Air Command, yes, SAC. had to do with providing command and control for the military, I guess. Basically what they did to do whatever during the Cold War is basically they had a command station in the air at all times on a, airplane, aircraft, probably the RC-135 maybe, also big in espionage and or intelligence, as they call it. It's one of the things that they did. I don't know when they started, if they've always had it in Omaha, but they also do weather. worldwide for the Air Force, out of, I believe, Omaha, Bellevue, out of the Offutt station there. So, anyway, he was part of a SAC for some time, and then he got talked into going into the Navy, and I listened to a show, a podcast today, and he was on there. It was kind of a little mini documentary about him, and he says that he saw some sort of a large object the size of an aircraft carrier come out of the ocean and take off up into the air and then plunge back down into the ocean, without, destroying itself. Who knows if he'd been juiced by the military, which, hanging out with some of these military folks here in the recent past, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not juiced in some sort of way. I think the movie is called Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson, and I think, what's her name? The gal that was in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts, I think she's in that movie. It's a CIA guy that gets juiced, or some sort of a spy, and they basically try and erase his memory of what he had been doing in the military. Anyway, I often think that some of these military folks are that. I've had that done to them in maybe a milder degree. But anyway, check that movie out if you are interested or remember how that movie turned out. Anyway, I don't know if this guy had been juiced or whatever, but he's big into that, big into the secret societies and the conspiracy theory. Yeah, he's probably not what you would call a skeptic, probably more of a conspiracy theorist. There's a little blurb in there about the Kennedy assassination, and actually one theory that I haven't heard or don't remember hearing has to do with the driver of Kennedy's limousine actually reaching back and shooting the president point blank in the head with the pistol. And I've seen the Zapruder films more times than I'd like to admit, but I don't ever recall seeing that, or if that's even visible. So I might have to go out and see if I can find that video on YouTube or whatever, see if I can see what's going on there. But I thought that was interesting. But anyway, he moved out to Arizona. I don't know, to do research on the Roswell Area 51 business. I'm not sure if you really call it research or whatever. But his life basically ended in a shootout with the local sheriffs there. Sheriff department, whatever. I don't know if they came to serve him papers. The one story there's two sides to the story. The story I heard today, said that these people were out there harassing him, and he finally got fed up and, started shooting at him, and then, they returned fire and ended up killing him. Which, incidentally, happened just shortly after 9/11. I believe it was in November of 2001 when he had gotten killed or murdered or whatever. I was listening to it at the time. I was actually trying to pick up some of the chatter or, outside the United States viewpoint on 9/11 and what they thought. The BBC is a little bit different. If you can get into, some of the European countries, Cuba, if you can listen to some of those broadcasts, you can kind of get a little bit different perspective of kind of the United States and their policies. Just like what we hear here in the States, the news, and then, you know, this news from the outside the United States, you got to kind of disbelieve all of it because, you know they're really not telling you the truth, you know, on either side of the fence, more than likely. In the U.S., you're probably hearing what they want you to hear. And, you know, outside, you're probably hearing what they want you to hear from the outside, or, you know, spin it a little bit. So, probably not even getting close to what the truth is and what actually happened and what's going on. But it's always kind of interesting to tune into that. So, anyway, this guy got killed back then. And it, you know, it's been really cold here recently, and usually that means that, you know, the shortwave signals propagate really well, and I picked up the, you know, William Cooper channel, whatever it is, I think it was 5070 or 5090 or something like that. And, you know, there's some folks that have continued on with his legacy and whatever he believes in. And so I got to listen to that a little bit. And then I was trying to come up with some sort of, I don't know how I stumbled across it, but I got a document off the internet about number stations or secret stations or whatever, where nobody really knows what they are. Usually they're in between frequencies. In the shortwave, it's usually increments by 5, and then you got a fine-tuned dial to kind of compensate for some of the, distortion or, you know, change in the signal. And usually if you get close to one of those broadcasts, you can, you know, tune it in. And it's basically a voice just repeating numbers or words or something like that. You know, people believe it has something to do with messages being sent out to spies, and they have a one-time pad that will decode the message, which, you know, whatever. Maybe it's some sort of training tool, or you know, I don't know. It's really funny that nobody's come forth and explained it. You know, either retired military or somebody on their deathbed or whatever. Evidently, there was a trial in 98. Somebody using number stations. I didn't quite read it entirely, but some people got in trouble or thrown in jail for using them or whatever. But kind of rekindled my shortwave interest, I guess, a little bit. I really should find my long wire antenna that usually works better. It helps pick things up. I actually got the antenna up, which will probably get busted in 2 pieces if the boy is anywhere near it. Hopefully he hasn't done that. This little radio I got has probably got a 5 or 6 foot antenna on it that, you know, comes out, a telescoping antenna. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. Anyway, I printed out a schedule for 4 or 5 o'clock GMT, and I didn't really have a chance to listen to anything last night, but it's kind of interesting. There's still quite a bit of shortwave activity out there. You know, it's you know, there's still some, I guess, non-military, non-governmental broadcasters out there broadcasting. A lot of them are religious programmers, things like that. I guess they're trying to, you know, be missionaries in a way that they can, you know, reach out to some of these far ends of the earth where they have short waves, I guess, you know. It's kind of interesting when you study cultural geography. You know, there's not a whole lot of technology in the world. You know, work, they're talking about washers and dryers and how they are, you know, I don't want to say novelties, but luxury type items. If you can afford that, if you have the infrastructure to run that equipment, you're in like the 1% of the world's population, or part of the 1% of the world's population that has that sort of technology. So, god dang it, I'm gonna get whacked here. What's the damn truck? Alright, here we go. Anyway, so I don't really know what these religious programs are trying to do, but I guess there's, you know, if they can get one person to send them money, I guess it's worth it. But like I said, there are, you know, independent and or non-governmental entities out there. Like I mentioned, the radio station out of Maine does that, and I should actually look them up. The advent of podcasting, one of the things I did find on, I think it's H-O-T-T, Hour of the Time or something like that is what it stands for. I actually did pick up a, you know, podcast feed on the William Cooper person, and I listened to some of that today, and I should see if the main station has got any sort of broadcasts on podcast or, you know, some sort of a feed. Be interesting to tune into that. It's actually kind of nice. You get it in better quality than you ever would on shortwave, and you can listen to it whenever you want. You know, the beauty about podcasts or audio magazines or whatever we call these things. So, I don't know, check it out, hott.org maybe, search for it in Google, I'm sure you can find it, look up William Cooper. There's also a pretty good article about him in Wikipedia. His first name's like Merlin or Martin or something like that, Merle or, I don't know, but anyway, it's interesting. You know, that shortwave radio I have actually has got some problems, and I really should get to Radio Shack. What I need to do, you know, this radio weighs like a ton for its size, and I imagine it has to do with all the electronics. It's got digital tuning and all that. The analog, you know, adjustment to do the fine-tuning and whatever, but it's been dropped so many times, and I've used it with an AC adapter that the AC adapter jack doesn't quite work. And, you know, really what I should do is go to Radio Shack and buy an AC, you know, adapter connector thingy, yeah, jack, whatever. And fit it into that radio so that I can, you know, plug it in and it won't cut out. Because now if you just barely touch the power cable, sometimes it you know, drops the power and you lose your radio, and then you got to turn it back on. It's got a push button on button. It doesn't have a switch per se that, you know, you switch it on or switch it off. You push the button and it comes on, and as soon as it drops power and then, you know, brings power back up, it doesn't, you know, turn itself back on. You have to turn it back on. Luckily, it does keep the channel for, you know, whatever frequency you're on for, you know, a time that it just kind of blitzes in and out or blinks in and out. So I don't know how difficult that would be to get that soldered in there. I'd probably ruin the damn thing. I'd have to find my soldering iron and or a solder. I think I know where the soldering iron is. I think I talked about my eBay activities either yesterday or the day before. I talked about buying some batteries for the cordless phones in the house, and had a little problem with one of them. Come on, buddy. Had a little problem with one of them. The jack or the end that came on one of the, it has a little wire that comes off the battery that plugs into the phone. It didn't quite fit into the phone. It's almost like it's the wrong connector, but a little ingenuity, I took a file and filed down one of the little tabs on it, and I actually did get the sucker to fit in there. Nickel metal hydride batteries, like I said, kind of a big fan of those. We'll have to see how they charge. Hopefully we haven't burned up a phone today, them being on the chargers today, so... The other one fit right in really well. Had no problems with that. That one was more of a contact, spring contact type of connection. So, didn't have any problems with that one. That one went right in. I was actually afraid that it wouldn't go in because it has like a little spacer thing on it, tab. And, went right in. So, I'll have to ask the wife if they work any better. I know she was on it last night. I was up late last night. I don't know if I said that or not. I was working on my cinnamon roll project again. I baked some cinnamon rolls off. Had to kind of get them up and risen a little bit, and got those into a pan and baked them off. They turned out pretty good this morning. Couldn't find my little jacket though. My fat man jacket. It's not little. Oh, bad. Oh, man. I may actually try the mastering function on this unit to see if I can master this track and see what it does. I'm not sure how you do it, if you bounce it over and put the mastering filter on it or what, but it's about 20 after now. Let's see, where am I at? Oh, 26 minutes. I think that's long enough. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go, and have some folks tune in and check out Audio On Demand. Bye-bye.